Just real quick, I did a couple dry runs, took us 17 minutes, so I've got 3 minutes to play with, theoretically. What I'm about to share with you is, we've been talking about it all weekend. Some of it's going to be familiar, some of it's going to be rehash, but I think it's time to get honest with what's really happening in our local churches, and that's where most of my experience lies. In the past 19 years, my wife and I have been outside of local church doing secular ministry, working with people in recovery, many of them spiritual but unchurched. The challenge we faced was introducing these people into a church body. We could never find a home that would accept them where they were at. So while we worked with many people, 300 to 500 people over the course of the past 19 years, we were never able to plug them into a church body because we were afraid we'd lose everything we'd done. And so the other aspect of this, I've also worked with a lot of young people and I've talked to them. I have very open conversations with them. I don't judge them. So that's what you're going to be getting. And at the end, there's 6 things that we can do. So let's move on here. So recently I had the opportunity to sit down with a group of 10 young people and ask them the following questions. Number one, how do they feel about coming to church? Number two, how do they feel about God and religion? And number three, if they were in charge of their Sabbath school, what would they do differently? Here are their responses. Question number one, how do you feel about coming to church? We feel like the people here have written us off. Upon further explanation, one of their Sabbath school leaders had told the young ladies, one of which was my daughter, they should plan on being pregnant shortly after they graduate from high school. Number two, the church is hypocritical. We are constantly being told what we need to do and how we are supposed to love and respect other people, but we are not treated with love and respect ourselves. The answer is to question number two. How do you feel about God and religion? It doesn't make any sense to me. When I asked them why they don't share their doubts and struggles, this was their reply, because I don't feel like I can do it without being judged. And the third one, I don't know how to relate to the Bible. Question number three, this is going to clue you in. We were talking to teenagers. If they were in charge of Sabbath school, what would they do differently? Their first answer was food. I would have food every Sabbath morning. The next answer surprised me. We want to be involved in more than just collecting offering. We actually want to be of service. We want to get into the community and make a difference. But the church isn't allowing us to do that. So with that, let's move forward. Connecting with the disconnected. Why 21st century young people are leaving the church? I think we just found out why, because we're not meeting their needs. And the unchurched are seemingly unreachable. Here's 6 reasons why young people leave the church. Isolationism, shallowness, anti-science, sex, exclusivity, and doubters. Of these 3, I have dealt specifically with shallowness, exclusivity, and doubters. And I'm going to go through each one of these. Shallowness means the church is boring, irrelevant, biblical concepts are unclear, and God is absent from their church experience. One person that my wife and I have worked with stated it like this: I feel like church is a private club, and unless I believe exactly as they do in every single way, I will never be accepted. Exclusivity. Young people think that church is exclusive. It does not agree to disagree, and they are forced to choose between their faith and their friends. Doubters. Young people think church is not a safe place to express their doubts. Many young people, both in and out of church, have serious doubts and questions they want to talk about, but they have no one they feel they can trust to talk to. Barna group study results from 2012. 6 out of every 10 young people will leave the church permanently starting at the age of 15. This is not necessarily a problem in our church. I was 15 years old and faking it until I was hoping to make it. But at the end, I left out. And here's the problem. We have them in church, but mentally they're checked out. All right, mentally they're wishing they were somewhere else, wondering what they could be doing with their friends and everything else. John 4:53 states, "Look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting." This is a concept Jesus had to teach to his disciples. Today, we are here because we recognize this fact. Our youth that are leaving our church and our inability to reach out and connect with the unchurched. Luke 10:2, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." The statement is just as true and applicable today as it was when Jesus came. And there are three reasons that make this statement that applicable. First reason, in today's society, people are needing and seeking out a satisfying worldview, and check this out, and spiritual fulfillment. In our 19 years, I cannot tell you how many people were seeking a spiritual relationship with their higher power. Second reason, many churches fail to gather a harvest because they cannot perceive what the harvest is. And the third reason, Christianity has too few laborers to gather the harvest. Most churches continue doing church as usual, assuming that most people in the community are Christians, further assuming that their ministry is merely the nurturing and caring of said Christians. Often church leaders and their members are either in denial or simply choose to ignore the number of pre-Christians, unchurched Christians, and hurting young people both in the church and in the community. More often than not, many of these do not even know many unchurched people. And that is not even counting the people that we have in church, which was identified earlier this morning, that are in church, but they're not Christians. They're just a body in the church. Why is this? And two reasons. Excuse me, let me back up. In most traditional churches, including my own, we ask our members to share the good news and invite people to church. This may sound familiar. Various outreach programs our church is conducting. Our members either don't do it, or they go out the day of, hand out flyers about the event, return to the church, and they're done. Everybody in the community sees everybody going to church once a year. They come out, hand out a flyer to a program, and that's the last they see of them. This isn't relationship. As leaders, we gently push and prod our members to share their faith and invite. They still don't do it. We may even provide good evangelism training. Our members take the training, like it, and believe that sharing their faith is important, but they still don't do it. I wanted to touch base on that because that's the reality of what happens at the local church level in most churches. First reason this occurs, many, including my wife and I at one time, have attempted labor and have come out of the harvest empty-handed. Steps to Christ books. We hand them out like cards, like we're dealing cards at a table. Hand them out. People said, I don't want that. That's religion. Result of the first, many traditional churches are no longer able to reach, receive, retain, and grow receptive people in their own individual ministry areas. There's five: preaching, teaching, evangelism, apostle, and prophet, I think, right? Is that the fifth one? Times have changed. As Christians, we currently assume that what inspired or encouraged us will do the same for somebody else. What worked to reach us will work just as good to reach them. And they already know what we are talking about. Those we are witnessing to will like the church enough to be able to respond positively to our efforts. Harvesting and nurturing has changed, and we have no idea how to harvest or nurture the change. So we go with what we know. We attempt to do the same thing. Sometimes we wrap it up in a shiny new package, and it kind of appears to work for a little while, but in the very near future, it just ends in failure. We fail to gather a harvest, and often unbeknownst to us, even though we have the best of intentions, we brutally damage or destroy whatever sprouts may have been developing. Question is, we continue these traditional approaches both in programs we use to minister to our memberships and in our community outreach efforts, despite declining and or completely zero results, many times at great expense, and continue their use, while many others have just given up on these approaches and not bothered to replace them. These elect to go through the motions, offering up listening sessions and other things that will give young people and members alike the idea that we care and are interested in them, but we fail when we don't follow through on what their perceived needs are and elect to continue following both what we feel their needs are and continuing to use the traditional approach where we decide what those needs are and how to meet them. Our solutions have been ignore it, but before I get to that one, I'm going really fast. I'm sorry. I'm trying to zip through this. We have to understand the gravitational pull over human nature, and this is going to go off with what Brother Kleber talked about this morning. The gravitational pull over human nature is self-serving. It does not look to serve others. Church congregations are made up of humans, and unless a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus is developed, the church as a body will continue to seek and focus on its own perceived needs and wants. Unchurched as well as our youth are seeing this hypocrisy. They are hearing the words but not seeing the actions. Unless we are willing to be honest about ourselves and our shortcomings, giving up on the idea that we need to be the perfect example of Christianity and begin our walk with Christ at the center of our personal lives, we will continue to be nothing more than the Pharisee. So our solutions to this problem, we ignore the situation, hoping that youth and young adults will somehow right themselves when they are older and have their own children. All this advertises to them is that leaders and parents and church members have missed the significance of the times and the needs of the young people. They choose instead to call it a phase they will hopefully grow out of. The truth is, this has been going on far longer than many of us want to admit. The proof is why we're here. The other one, we exhaust all efforts to appeal to the teens and young adults. Great, we've recognized the need and are addressing the problem. However, this approach excludes the older members and builds the church on the perceived preferences of the young people and not on the pursuit of a personal and intimate relationship with God. One response I received from parents and a pastor that I was working at, the church I was working at, hey, at least they're here. The truth behind that statement. Two of the girls in that particular Sabbath school became pregnant before they graduated from high school from two of the boys, and half a dozen others are now into drugs, crime, and are completely out of the church. That's entertainment. It's time to be honest. It goes beyond the perceived needs and wants of members, and maybe it boils down to preferences. I'm sure most of you have tried to lead beyond the preferences of the church members. Many of you probably, when you started ministry, you come out on fire. In fact, maybe it is not even the church members, but a specific patriarchal member and their following who creates the resistance. The result in my personal experience has been an immediate barrage of voicemails, emails, and meetings. Board meetings turn into their opportunity to begin any number of antagonistic measures to create enough of a disturbance to get their own way. Many of the church members feel like it is their right to have the church fit into their tastes and whims. The church body as a whole suffers because of it. This doesn't work for three reasons. One, this method of Christianity is killing the church. Attendance is stagnant or on the rapid decline as people drift further and further from Christ. In fact, if we were to be honest, this is less practicing Christ-likeness and more of selfishness. In fact, we are making the same mistakes and replicating exactly what the Pharisees did in Jesus' time. And we all know where Jesus stood when it came to that majority. Number two, it is absolutely impossible to please everyone. There's no need to comment on that one. And number three is completely wrong. The bottom line, folks, when our preferences begin causing people to leave the church and keeps unchurched people from the promise of Christ and God's free gift of salvation, it is definitely time to change our preferences. The young people are leaving the church and the unchurched are staying away from the church, not because they are not connecting, nor being taught, nor discipled into a personal relationship with Christ. When we give them 13 baptismal studies, we baptize them and then cut the cord and cut them loose in the congregation. Jesus spent 3 years discipling his disciples. And let me tell you personally, when I was rebaptized and entered the church, that's when the real attack started. You really think that after 10 years of disobeying your parents and doing all this, all the drinking, all the everything else that went on with that, devil's in my head, God's going to accept you? That is when people need discipleship, relationship more than anything. So, the million-dollar question, what do we do about it? This might be a familiar face right here, Vince Lombardi. This is a football speech. The reason I share this is because Vince Lombardi was known for focusing on fundamentals. Okay? Real quick, the Green Bay Packers of the preceding season of 1961 had lost a substantial lead to the Philadelphia Eagles. The team was hurting. They could not figure out what happened. So, they come to spring training. Vince Lombardi stands up, says, gentlemen, back to basics. If you forgot, this is a football. He focused on fundamentals. 6 months later, they would defeat the New York Giants 37-0. They would never again lose another playoff game and would go to win 5 championships in a 7-year period, including 3 in a row. Vince Lombardi never coached a team with a losing record. As Christians, what is our fundamental? It's right there, developing our personal and intimate relationship with Christ. We cannot hope to build a relationship with another human being unless we're connected to Christ, because our selfish desires are always going to get in the way. Our own biases or preferences and judgments are always going to get in the way. So unless we develop this relationship with Christ and see other people as God sees them, there's really no end to that. As a result of that focus, we will be an open conduit that will allow Christ to use us when and where he knows we need to be used. This intimate relationship we will gain firsthand knowledge and understanding of how Christ conducted his very successful ministry. We will begin to emulate his love and compassion to others, and we will begin connecting with them in a way that will attract and not push away. How did Jesus connect? The six connecting points Jesus left as an example. These work with youth, young adults, current members, and unchurched. Here they are. Affirmation, acceptance, appreciation, affection, availability, and accountability. Affirmation. Identifying with people's feelings of excitement or disappointment lets them know we understand them for who they are, a human being. People were drawn to Christ because of what he taught and for who he was. They were not drawn to his commandments, but to his compassion to meet the spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of hurting humanity. It is no different today. It should be Christ's love that draws us to him and compels us to believe, to follow, and to obey. It is our sense that he understands us and identifies with our hurting sense of hopelessness that makes him so irresistible. That, in turn, folks, will give us a compassion and love for human beings that you will not believe. Acceptance. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. How did Christ accept us? Unconditionally, right where we are at this very moment. He does not wait until we are living up to a standard before he invites or accepts us into a relationship with him. He invites us into that relationship right now while we are still sinners. Why? Because only he can lead us to living to his standard. We get a clear picture of God throughout the Gospels. The Samaritan woman in John 4, while Jesus did not condone her sin, he engaged her in a conversation without judgment and or condemnation. As a result, the woman welcomed what Jesus had to say, and her life and the life of the rest of the town was changed. Appreciation. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Another biblical example of God, and this one expressing appreciation. Paul, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. This is what we call in coaching, positive coaching. Paul expresses his thanks to God for the Romans, then he specifically lists what he appreciates about the Romans. When we are appreciated and what is appreciated is then stated, we have a sense of significance. The more praise and appreciation that is given when I was coaching teams, if I praise them for good action, I very little time did I have to correct because they would strive to do the positive. They wanted that positive affirmation. I actually got the rest of the team involved in positive coaching. They saw somebody do something good, affirmation. And if they saw something bad, they said, don't worry about it, flush it, let's get back to the basics.
4 minutes.
4 minutes? All right, cool, we're good. Affection. Appropriate, and I have to stress appropriate in this day and age, affection and physical touch has been proven psychologically to support the emotional growth and development of all ages. There's a hole inside each one of us. It's a God-shaped hole that sin put there. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, kids are hurting so much they're going anywhere and everywhere to find something to fill that. Studying Christ's example of ministry will allow the Spirit to guide us in understanding this connecting point. And that's really all I can say about that. If you look at study Christ's ministry, every single interaction he had with healing, it dealt with physical touch. Availability. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Throughout the Gospels and the Bible, for that matter, we see repeated examples of God and Christ making themselves available to everyone who came to them. Christ made time for the young people. In fact, the disciples, with the exception of Peter, were all younger men. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the young ruler, the centurion, the list goes on. And yet Jesus made time for them all. When we make ourselves available, we continue to validate somebody's existence. And we let them know that we truly care. I have gotten phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. Leticia has gotten up, put on a pot of coffee, and I spent the next 3 hours talking to somebody who was in a crisis about going out and drinking. If we are not available any day, any time, we don't care. It's not about us, folks. Accountability, and here's the crux. Everybody's been asking me for the magic pill. It's a relationship with Christ. It's that personal, intimate relationship that we have to have. Accountability, because so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Being a Christian is truly about a personal walk with Jesus. We cannot gain salvation through anybody else. We must each develop our own personal relationship with Christ, and that is what we will be held accountable to. What has been lacking is that we have not taught young people or new believers how to have a personal relationship with Christ. And my question is, what would happen if we individually and intentionally began our personal relationship with Christ and began doing ministry the way he did? We wouldn't need to be here. I can guarantee you that we would not need to be here. We would be. And here's the other aspect, too. The challenges facing us at the local church level as a pastor, our pastor is trying to move forward, and he's meeting that resistance. And everybody's looking at the pastor, and then it's the pastor's leading everything. And in my ministry efforts and Leticia's ministry efforts for the past 19 years, we've been outside the church. We've gotten no support from the church. You guys have been blessed by me. Let me tell you, being here with all of you has blessed us because we've been alone for 19 years with this concept. So it's been a very emotional weekend because 19 years we've been trying to do this type of ministry and what we're here talking about. And to see everybody here, church leaders, getting into this, it's just awesome. I praise God for that because people out there are hurting. I was one of them. And I'm sorry I'm breaking down, but they're hurting. They need people like us to go and hug them and just talk to them. Be intentional. You have to love people if you're in ministry. If you're a Christian, you have to love people. God continues to go to the broken ones. He uses the broken ones. And yet we hurt them by not going out into the community. What's so hard about getting into the community and just walking the street and praying in front of each house for a month? And then walking up to the door, because I guarantee they would have seen you. Walk up to the door and say, hey, for the past month, you may have seen me walk in the street. We've been praying in front of each house. And I just wanted to connect with you and say, is there anything at all that you need to pray about that we can lift up in prayer? And that's it. Give them the chance to open the door and let you in. Because when they open the door, you get a lot farther than when you come at them with a bunch of doctrine. And the list goes on and on. I could share experience after experience of how Christ has used us. And we've had an amazing journey, even though we've been by ourselves. It's been awesome. And we've made connections with over 500 people. And it just continues to be an amazing journey. But honestly, this is the question. If we individually and intentionally begin our personal relationship with Christ and begin doing ministry the way he did, we put him back in charge, we're going to blow up as a church. Just explode. Do the Bible math. He started with 12 to 120 to 3,000 in one day. And they were coming into the church, in the new church, in the early church model, by the thousands and the hundreds they were coming in. And now we can't, what, we're happy when we get two? There's something wrong. Thank you.